right, if the brothers could pull up in the back, Hebrews chapter 1.
Amen.
I was kind of looking for a topic to talk about, and Hebrews is a good weighty subject to kind of go through, and it's got a lot of things packed in here. So maybe like, I think one of Jesus' parables was talking about how the Bible is like a scribe's got a treasure box, and you can pull out things in your treasure box and just kind of start unpacking things. So this morning maybe we'll look into the treasure box and just pull things out and go through. I'm going to be careful with the time.
Amen.
And wave at me if I... All right. So, you know, Brother Branham, I was reading through he preached several sermons on Hebrews, and I was reading through the first one where he kind of outlined, kind of gave a good background on Hebrews, and he talked about, you know, that Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews, and
Amen.
A lot of people don't know if he wrote it or not, and because it was so grammarized.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of comparisons between the life of the things that Paul wrote and the things that he did, how he wrote many things that they could read about in the early church and a good chunk of the New Testament. And then Brother Branham preached, and we can read, and there's a lot of comparisons between those two the first church age and this last church age. And I think it's interesting that, you know, Brother Branham had the church age book, which was grammarized and kind of polished up. And that's one of the things with the book of Hebrews. It was a polished kind of form of Greek. And that's one of the reasons why people say, well, I don't know who the author was. It doesn't seem like it's quite written the way that some of the other things that Paul wrote. It's because it's polished up. It's grammarized. But we know that thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
We know that Paul was the author of it. So in the book of Hebrews, Brother Branham said it's Paul's key letter. And he was trying to show the Hebrews, separating the Old Testament and showing that the Old Testament was a shadow or a type of the New. It's
That's
a shadow.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, look here, look at what that is, and then we look over here and see what this is. And the Old Testament, they had the law and lay down all of the things, kind of like it got you in prison.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so Paul's showing, now you're in prison, you need a way out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of showing the difference between you got in prison, you're like behind prison bars, you've broken the law, you've made a mistake,
yep.
And now you're in prison. And so then he begins to open up, here's the way out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And begins to point the way to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And he lays out that framework of, now I'm going to show you who Jesus is and why he's greater than, in the first chapter, why he's greater than all the angels, all the prophets, all the ministers that have spoken. This man is greater than all of those things that maybe you think you have an understanding of, the Hebrews that he's talking to, by your understanding of the things that you've studied. Now, he said the law was a type of the grace, but law had no saving power in it. The law was a policeman. The policeman put you in jail. But you see it taking grace to get you out of jail.
Amen.
Now, you know, Brother Branham, when he outlined, we'll get to the scripture in just a second, but just to put some background, he was given some perspective on Paul was saved, and then he went off for a long time, three years or so, to study, and Brother Branham said he came out of that period of study realizing that the church needs to be balanced.
Amen.
And he said this book of Hebrews was really to kind of establish balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we need balance, and he's outlines this in that message that he preached on Hebrews. He said, now on this side, when people get converted, their minds is set right on Christ. And if they're just a little scholarly and don't keep under prayer, they'll get real cold and stiff and starchy and indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're just a little bit nervous, if you don't watch, they'll just get radical and wild on this side. See, they go into sensations and everything. So there's the two extremes, to get real cold and starchy or to get real wild and fanatical. He said, but the real church is a real sane gospel, right in the middle of the road. It's not cold and starchy. Neither is it fanaticism. It's a real, good, old, warm gospel. Heartfelt love of God going right down the middle of the road, calling from both sides.
Amen.
That's right. And see, now Paul, he said, now Paul wanted to get this church right in the middle of the road. So he went and studied 3 years on the scriptures that he knew. Therefore, Paul wrote the bigger part of this New Testament.
Amen.
So Paul's objective was to get the church balanced, mm-hmm. to establish them in the scripture, so they wouldn't go off too far on this side,
right.
wouldn't go far on that side, but they know what they're believing.
Amen.
He said, now notice, now we're going to start getting this background now, where he's at, writing it from prison, and he's had all this experience. But first, this experience was first proven, and this is his key letter to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is his key letter. Romans and Ephesians and so forth have their place, but this is the key letter.
Amen.
So the theme of the very first chapter, he said, now the whole first chapter is exalting Jesus and separating him from being a prophet. This is not just an ordinary prophet. This is a God prophet.
Amen.
He said, that's the whole thing now. I'll try to get to it just as quick as can now so we won't stay too long. He said that the first chapter is separating Jesus from any prophet or any law or so forth. And showing who Jesus is.
Right.
So the whole book of Hebrews is showing the superiority of this new revelation, the New Testament.
Right.
And it's showing that the superiority of Christ.
Yeah.
So that lays the background to get into Hebrews chapter 1. So let's dive in and start unpacking some things.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God, in a lot of different ways, a lot of different times, spake. So who's it doing the speaking? It's actually God doing the speaking. And he spoke to the fathers. The fathers were the Moses and Elijah and all them. We talk about the patriarchs being the foundation, all those back there. That's who that God was actually speaking to, and he spoke to them through prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you go to verse 2, and he starts saying, now this man that I'm talking about is greater than all of these prophets,
Amen.
All these men that we read about. He's speaking to the Hebrews. Now, mm-hmm. you know about Moses, and you know about Elijah. You know about Daniel and all those, but this man is greater than all those, prophets. So in the Old Testament, he gave his message through prophets. So let's just dive into that. Now, what is a prophet? And you know, sometimes we kind of forget what a prophet is. A prophet's not just like a good person that came on the scene and somebody that we read about, like a tale or whatever. Now, Brother Bram, I just wrote some things down that he said about prophets. He said, now, first of all, a prophet's going to be, when a prophet comes on the scene with a message, they're going to be rejected, right?
Absolutely.
That's one thing to look out for.
Amen.
And he said, never in all the history of the world did ever the church produce a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Never did the church produce a prophet.
Right.
He said, search it in the Old Testament, New Testament, or in this day, in the latter day, show me any prophet was ever raised out of the church in the last day.
Right.
No prophet ever came out of the group think of that day. It wasn't Ahab and Jezebel that produced a prophet. It wasn't Babylon that produced the prophet of Daniel. They all came out with a message straight from God.
Amen.
That contradicted everything that seemed like the world of that day believed.
Right. Yeah.
He said, show me one ever come out. And show me one time that a prophet, a real servant of God, that the ecclesiastical system of the world didn't condemn him.
Yeah.
Now that's one thing. Even when Jesus began to preach, he began to blast the people of that day for their ancestors that had killed the prophets.
Right.
And now he was saying, now you're guilty of doing the same thing.
Right.
You go out and you whitewash the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers are the ones that actually put them in the grave.
Right.
And so in Matthew 23, for example, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." If we, they're saying, if we had been back there, we would not have been doing what they didn't realize they were actually doing there at that same time. "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets." My, that's straight talk right there. But you can see how a prophet that always has that characteristic of rejection, of being rejected. And so Jesus is blasting that. So what is a prophet? Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So if you look online, the definition of prophet, just looking at a dictionary, is somebody who speaks in behalf of and interprets the will of a supernatural being. A prophet is actually speaking the will of God. They're actually speaking and interpreting what God wants done. Often rebuking or predicting events. Or an authoritative person who receives and communicates a message from God. Now, you think about what a privilege it is to have heard a prophet in this day, to have heard direct from God a message that is not like standalone, but can be compared back to Scripture, and then actually gives the correct interpretation of Scripture, like the things we're reading about in Hebrews. And he said a prophet, now these are the things that Brother Branham said, a prophet is a vindicated person. A vindicated means it's proven, it's proven out. Like, for example, when you hear, if you hear a prophet say something's going to happen, there's going to be a tornado, or watch out, there's going to be somebody's going to die or whatever, then you hold on a second, see if it comes to pass, and when those things begin to come to pass, then you know it's proven out. Or, for example, if God actually has his picture taken with somebody, then that's vindicated. If, you know, you're in a service where a prophet is speaking, and he says, "Watch out, there goes the angel of the Lord," and he begins to move through the building, and people begin to shout and rejoice wherever that angel of the Lord is, or people come up on the platform, and you know that the presence of the angel of the Lord is there, and he says, he identifies it, and begins to speak things in people's lives, then you know it's vindicated, because it's proven out. A prophet is a vindicated person from birth, coming down with the word of the Lord. A prophet means to give a personal experience under inspiration or foresee something. He says, see what a prophet is for? He's not a healer. He's to find out the will of God for you. To find out the will of God. So he's not a healer. He's to find out the will of God for you. And then if you can find out by kind of opening up the Scripture and showing that it's the will of God for you to be healed, then you have confidence and you believe and you can receive your healing.
Amen.
He said a prophet is different. They're born a prophet and they come up prophets. All that they say must be true every time or it cannot be recognized as a prophet in the office. So they're born a prophet. So at like 2 or 3 years old, he had his first vision or whatever, but he wasn't born again yet. But he was born a prophet. He came into the world already a prophet. The word of the Lord came to a prophet. What is a prophet? Is a witness to foretell, to show a vindication that he is a diviner of the divine word. The word of God came to the prophets. A prophet is the word. We know that. The word prophet means a divine interpreter of the word. The divine word is wrote, and the prophet has the divine spirit of God within him to give the right interpretation of the word. And he said, now listen to this. Why does God send prophets? He said, we're so dull in faith till we fail to see him. That's the reason God sends prophets to the earth. See, people won't read their Bible, and they don't. They just go, so God always sends them a sign, and usually a prophet is a sign. He said, a prophet is a preacher. True preacher on the word that stays with the word and that bring forth a revival that gathers that elect out of that generation. And he said, a prophet is an office of the church, not a gift in the church, but an office in the church. Not a gift that can just go from one to another, but it's actually set an office in the church. He said, they're ordained, predestined by God's foreknowledge to be what they are. They're born prophets. Prophets are not made. It's not something that's made that's you lay hands on and then they begin to prophesy or something like that. Right. They're actually born that way.
Amen.
And a prophet or a seer, in one word, is considered in the Old Testament as eagles. Now, he said a prophet sees while he's awake. And, you know, the way that Brother Brown described it is, it's like you dream while you're awake. Your subconscious and your conscious are joined together. And he said both of them are right together. He can't help that.
Right.
Now, if your subconscious is back there, there's no need of you trying to see a vision. You wasn't made up like that.
Right.
If your subconscious is here in a dream, if you're a dreamer, not a vision, and this man sees visions, can't help it. He's just made up like that. Now, instead of going to sleep, a seer is one conscious. He doesn't go to sleep like the dream does, but it's just so close to him till he just breaks from one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees things just like a dream. Now, we know that prophets weren't just in the Old Testament. They're in the New Testament as well, because we know that there was the prophet Agabus and so many others. And then in this day, we've heard the voice of the last day prophet. And you know, I was sharing with Brother Wade. I was talking to a preacher somewhere, and he was relating how that a prophet had come to his church. And there's prophets in Latin America and prophets in Africa. There are prophets. There is a fivefold ministry. And there we have all five offices in the church, in the bride today, active and prophets. And, of course, you go back to how do you tell a prophet? How do you tell a real prophet? You make sure that they're vindicated and proven and the things that they're saying come to pass. And then you can recognize and benefit. So now, lay that background. In the Old Testament, they heard a prophet. So a prophet is like a trumpet that's communicating what the will of God is. So in the Old Testament, they heard the voice of God through a prophet. But yet, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, he said, now, they heard through prophets, but it hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Amen.
So now they heard through prophets. But now here in the New Testament, here that Paul was speaking about, we've heard from the one who was the voice behind the prophet.
Amen.
He actually manifested and walked in flesh and spoke and shared things with them. And see, Brother Ram said the prophets of the old day was the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was the spirit of Jesus Christ actually speaking through them. Moses, you know, was a kind of a type of a prophet. Joseph was a type of what one day would come, that Jesus Christ would be manifested. And he said, in that day, he spoke by the prophets. But this day, through his Son, that was the word of a prophet there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word of the Son today.
Amen.
So see how Paul was comparing. That was the word of a prophet then, but now we've got the word of the Son, direct, the word of Jesus Christ. That was the word of a prophet there. This is the word of the Son today. He said, in other words, if you're looking at the shadow, the negative, you might make a mistake. But this is developed. The picture is clear. That was by the prophet. This is by his Son. So the one that the prophet spoke of is now clearly represented. He's declared. That was by negative. This is by positive. Amen. You see it? There isn't a chance to lose. It's a positive thing this day through his Son. Now, so he says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Right there in verse 2. Hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So he had an appointment. An appointment. Now, Brother Branham explains it like this. He said the appointment was made back. Of course, it was made before the foundation of the world. He's going to be heir of all things. But he had an appointment that was declared in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the one that that appointment was speaking of is he's now, Paul, this is who Paul is talking about. The appointment was kept.
Yeah.
The appointment was kept, and he showed up to die on the cross and destroy the works of the devil. Because
right.
It says, and between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Right.
So his heel was bruised on the cross, and he bruised the head of the serpent
yeah.
through the act that he
Amen.
Performed and kept the appointment that
yeah.
God made
Amen.
Before
Amen.
The foundation of the world.
Right.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now the brother yesterday was kind of getting on this in his sermon. I really enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to today
yeah.
because he was speaking on how that by whom also he made the worlds, that there are actually, that this man that Paul is speaking of actually created all of the worlds.
Amen.
That, like, as he was speaking on yesterday, you can look up into the night sky and see all of the stars and all the things.
Amen.
So who made the worlds? Brother Ram said Christ. Christ made the worlds.
Amen.
Worlds, plural.
Amen.
And Hebrews chapter Amen. 11, verse 3, and I know I've got just a few more minutes. I'll be winding up here in just a second. He said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now think about everything that we see up in the night sky. All of those worlds were actually framed by the word of God and kept in place by the word of God. And so you think about that. If the word of God is powerful enough to frame the heavens and the worlds and keep them in place and keep them in their orbit and doing what they're supposed to do, then the word of God also has power
yeah.
to keep you in line and to give you structure in your life and to put you in your place and to give you power
Amen.
Over the enemy. Now, Brother Bram said in questions and answers, is there more than one world? He said, yes, there's worlds of worlds. Now, think about that, worlds of worlds. Hebrews, the first chapter, the second verse, and the third verse. There's worlds of worlds. God created the worlds. W-O-R-L-D-S, to drive it home, worlds.
Yep.
He said, go out here to Mount Palomar. Mount Palomar is an observatory north of San Diego. And he said, and look through to that observatory there and see 120 million years of light space through that, out yonder at the worlds and the solar systems and the solar system out there. How the worlds and the other suns and moons and worlds and stars and 120 million years of light space. And then beyond that, still more worlds and moons and stars. So this is the one that Paul is talking about. You've heard all of the prophets and all of the stories of the Old Testament, and you've got the law. But now I'm telling you about the one that was appointed heir of all things, that made all the worlds. I'm going to tell you, and if we go over into Hebrews chapter 2, this is why you need to pay attention to the things that this man has said, is what Paul's saying in chapter 2. If you've heard the word of the angels and the ministers, now hear the word of this man. And the musicians can go ahead and start coming forward. Hear the word of this man that's made the worlds, that's framed everything with the word of his power,
Amen.
That's framed everything up.
Yep.
This man, this Jesus Christ
Amen.
That we serve. And we'll stop with that. I can't believe we only made it to verse 2. Anyway.